Live from the heartland and the crossroads of America, it's Tony Katz Today.
The eclipse starts in less than 60 minutes. Not the full thing. That's going to take some time. But in terms of when, for many people listening to the sound of my voice, the moon starts to cross in front of the sun, less than an hour, and you know what that means?
We're all going to die.
That's exactly what it means. Tony Katz Today, 833-GOT-TONY, 833-468-8669. I'm broadcasting outside. I got the setup. Cigar is in hand. So the skies have just a little bit of cloud cover, but that cloud cover is high enough so as not to create an issue, at least where I'm at, in the Indianapolis area, in this path of totality, for the eclipse. Which means for me and for many of you,
the darkness is almost upon us.
That is it. For other people across the country, at least the lower 48, they're going to see parts of the eclipse, little bits of it. It'll look different. It'll be like, okay, that's cool. It won't be the magnitude of the thing. So we're keeping an eye on it. We are watching it. I was watching this video. I saw this posted from an account on X. It was like a news report from a Lauren Witzke. Now, I'm not here to defend Lauren Witzke. I don't think Lauren Witzke has done anything wrong. It's just where I saw the post. The post has nothing to do with this woman, Lauren Witzke. I just believe in giving credit where it's due. The post allegedly is a video about a pilot. This woman is standing in the front of the plane. You've seen a female pilot before. I've seen a female pilot before. You know what we've said? Can we get to our place on time, please? And do you have anything other than peanuts? Wait, you don't even have peanuts. Dear Lord. Right now, all airline travel is predicated on the hope that the engine doesn't fall off. Now, this was the case with a Southwest flight. It was going from Denver to Houston. And on takeoff, the engine cover, which is referred to as the cowling, like Batman wears a cowl, C-O-W-L, the cowling just starts flying off, ripping off, shredding off. And earlier on my morning show, I was saying, can we be clear? This was a Boeing 737 something or other. Boeing's got a problem. Boeing is not checking its stuff. Boeing can't make a plane. And I had a series of people, both on X, you can follow me at Tony Katz, and on email, they were saying to me, I don't know if you can blame Boeing for this. And they make a very interesting argument, which is Boeing doesn't make the engines. The engines come from a Pratt Whitney, a Rolls Royce, something like that. They make the engines. And I say, okay, but it's a Boeing plane. Isn't the fact that it's a plane that Boeing is selling, isn't that enough to say it's Boeing's responsibility? Somebody else said to me, Tony, this is about the ground crew for Southwest Airlines in this case, maybe not checking something with the engine, locking things up properly. And someone stated, if you didn't change your oil, and you let the oil run dry, you wouldn't blame the auto manufacturer for the engine blowing up. Okay. I think that's an argument, and maybe we have to be taking a look at the engine manufacturer. Maybe we need to be taking a look at the airline. And I don't mind the idea of responsibility going their way. But this is about Boeing having the fuselage blowouts, Boeing having the issue with the landing gear, Boeing and the audit. There were like, it was an audit of 86 different checks, right? Little or large scale safety checks. They fail 33 of them. There's a specific lubricant that's supposed to be used when affixing the door, so it seals properly. They didn't have the lubricant. What were they using? Dawn soap. I can't make this up, and I'm not anti-Dawn. It cuts the grease. But you're using soap instead of the lubricant. Were you saving a couple bucks? This is crazy. Who's watching? Who's paying attention? And how do I look at that? And these issues with Boeing planes, especially the 737 MAX, remember the guidance systems, the crashes that took place, how do you not blame Boeing? I find myself like people are making perfect sense. You guys are replying. I'm like, all right, I think that's a good argument. I think the one about the car is actually a rather compelling one. You have a job to do. They sell you the car, but you have to engage the upkeep of the car. We accept this as the contract and the deal constantly. So the airline has to do it, but it's always with a Boeing car. Or this guy, Boeing plane. If there was one car manufacturer that always had the issue, what was the car that exploded? Was it the Pontiac Fiero? Was that the one that caught fire? Was it catching fire? Is that what it was doing? Like some moments, it doesn't matter the rest. There's an issue. There's a problem. This is a problem of people. This is not a problem of DEI. And so Lauren had posted here, and again, I don't know Lauren at all, DEI female pilot moment. This is insane. Let me share some of it with you.
Okay, if you don't feel safe, get off the airplane.
But this is your captain speaking, okay. But never like this.
I'll stop, and we'll fly the airplane. Don't worry, I'm going to let my co-pilot fly it. He's a man. Okay?
It's a total...
It comes from Inside Edition, because that's where the bug is. And this woman is... She's got a baseball cap on. She's wearing civilian clothes, and she's on the little phone thing that speaks to the people in the plane. And she starts saying this stuff. Listen.
Full meltdown. The pilot boarded in her street clothes and addressed the passengers over the intercom. Passenger Pam O'Neill couldn't believe what was happening.
She said, "Let's take a vote. How many of you would like to take off now with me dressed as I am, or would you prefer that I take 10 minutes to get changed into my cute little uniform?" Then she started.
Cute little uniform? Well, if you're supposed to be in a certain dress, well, I think you should be in the dress, but there could be reasons. Maybe they didn't have a pilot got sick. You happen to be available, you're in your street clothes. There's a video that's been around for years. I think it was in New Zealand. And it was this pilot who was getting on a plane with his family. They were going on vacation, and clearly a pilot wasn't there, and he called the airline and said, "Look, I'm a pilot. I'm on this plane. I'm going on vacation, but the pilot's not here, sick or whatever. I have my pilot's license, and I have not been drinking. Do you want me to fly the plane?" And as he tells the story to the crowd there on the airplane, the airline said, "We'll call you right back." And 10 seconds later, they called back and said, "Would you please fly the plane?" And so he said to the crowd there, to the passengers, "Hey, if you don't mind me looking like this, I'd like to go on vacation too. What do you say we fly?" And all the passengers cheer, and that was it. This woman is engaged in a lecture.
She started talking about her divorce and political candidates. Okay, and the minute she mentioned that, a gentleman stood up and just yelled, "Whoa. Enough, you're scaring me."
Another passenger, Randy Reese, got up to leave and gave a running commentary on social media. Pilot also insulted a couple on board.
"Did I offend you? Okay, so did I purposely offend you? I did. The answer is yes." Flight attendant.
Then they had the arms, the doors disarmed, and this pilot just leaves the plane. I want to explain that this has nothing to do with DEI. And we should not think that, just like on the woke conversation, you can't just throw it as an argument for everything. First, if you're getting political and talking to passengers about political candidates as a pilot, you should be fired. Because no one cares about your political affiliation. I was on a flight yesterday. I was in Savannah, Georgia for a few days. And the flight attendant on my flight is wearing a pin that says AFA. I don't know what AFA means. I haven't been able to look it up. Maybe it means Association of Flight Attendants. I don't know what it means. But the background of the pin was the rainbow flag. I don't think she should be wearing that pin. I do not want to know the politics of my flight attendant. I want the peanuts. That's what I want. If she was wearing a flag, a pin that said, bring the hostages home, I may agree with her when we talk about Israel and the terrorist organization that is Hamas that rapes women, kills babies, and kidnaps babies and women. But I don't need it on a plane. I don't want it on a plane. I want the peanuts. It's what I want. Now, only an American flag worn by U.S. airlines, if a flight attendant was wearing that, I'd be fine with it. But even that could be argued, you don't wear anything, you just wear the stuff from the airline and you provide the peanuts. That's it. Nobody needs your personality. Why is this pilot talking about politics and talking about cute your little uniform? This is not a DEI conversation. This is indeed a conversation of entitlement. We have discussed this many times in many ways, that we have an entire generation that, and it started with the younger generation, we taught them that their opinion matters, that they don't have to keep anything to themselves, that not only are they entitled to their opinion, but no one's allowed to tell them that they're wrong, and they can vocalize it anytime they want. They have carte blanche to self-righteousness and the ability to force others to deal with their self-righteousness. We should be clear, and I think we can all see this in our own lives anecdotally, that this applies to more than just the younger generation. If you think this is just Gen Z or just millennials, it is not true. The entire Karen conversation, I feel so awful for people who are named Karen. That is rough. That what we have done to the name Karen, right? Some people, there's a reason we don't call them that anymore. Like, for example, no one names their kid Adolf anymore. And rightfully so. I have not met a Pol Pot in all of my years. Not even as a nickname. No one uses Pol Pot. The name Karen, that is gone from America. No one's going to be named Karen anymore. But the boomers, the Karens, believe that they are entitled to say things to you and say anything to you in this bit of self-righteousness. Where does the self-righteousness come from? Where does the elitism come from? I argue that it's actually anxiety. It was my brother, the good Dr. Katz, who first brought this up, and I have spent a lot of time thinking about this and seeing if it applies. If you are a pilot and you want to fly the plane, you just fly the plane if that's your job. The fact that you're not wearing the uniform could be seen as odd, and if you want to explain to the passengers why you're not wearing a uniform, hey, this happened, here I am, I'm going to fly the plane, hope that's okay with you. Everyone's going to say, that's great, because no one's going to believe that somehow she isn't the pilot. We would take it, okay, that's the pilot. They let her in the cockpit. Clearly, she must be the pilot. We wouldn't think twice about it. A discussion of politics, my cute uniform, my co-pilot's a man, maybe that makes it okay. That's a person who is not well. And I believe that not well comes from a level of anxiety that she decided in her own head, all these people are against me, everybody's coming after me, no one believes in me because I'm a woman, so I'll show them and I'll tell them. And they'll understand when I really castigate them, and they'll learn their lesson. The reality is nobody cares about her at all. They only care that she's qualified to get the plane in the air and then to land the plane in the location that the people on the plane want to go. This is not a DEI thing. This is an anxiety thing. And this is an entitlement thing. Now, maybe in different degrees, and that's worthy of a debate, you, me, a bourbon, and a bar stool. But I just don't think we should say, you see, this is what happens when you hire women pilots. I don't think this is what happens when you hire women pilots. I think this is does happen to people who forget what their job is and don't recognize how unimportant they are. I do this. I do radio. You know what you have the power to do? Change the station. Don't. I mean, don't be ridiculous. But the power is all yours. You're listening, you're not listening, all that jazz. You don't like what I have to say? You make the change. I don't get to now lecture you. Well, you're not listening to me because that's crazy talk. You wanting to live your life is very important. The pilot wanting to lecture to you is totally unimportant. The pilot's politics, the flight attendant's politics, they're unimportant. They don't matter. Get it through your head. You don't matter. And this is not just, you know, airlines. We can apply this to a million different professions. None of it matters. Stop telling us we don't care. Stop telling us how much we have to care. Just leave us alone. Fly the plane. Get us our damn peanuts. That's all we contracted for. That's all we ask you to do. I'm Tony Katz.
Turn around.
Every now and then I get a little bit lonely and you're never coming around.
Turn around.
I do the best eclipses. My eclipses are far better, far safer. Make eclipses great again.
My dear.
The big yellow one's a sun!
Bring on the eclipse. What are we doing? Can we hurry this up? I want to see how insignificant I am in the universe, and then I'd like to get back to whatever is binging on Netflix. Which, that might be the heaviest line I've ever said on radio. Tony Katz. Tony Katz today, what's going on? The eclipse is coming.
Damn you, Taylor Swift.
She is responsible for all bad things. All bad things. So not only do you have the eclipse, you have got tonight NCAA championship. You've got Purdue, the Boilermakers of Indiana. And you've got UConn, the Huskies. And so there's a bet. You've got the governor of Connecticut, Ned Lamont, saying to Governor Holcomb, are you as excited about tonight's game as I am? How about we make this even more fun? I'll bet you beer from Athletic Brewing, chocolates from Munson's, and New Haven-style pizza from Sally's A Pizza, that men's basketball wins the title and claims back-to-back victories. The governor of Indiana, Governor Eric Holcomb, states, I'll take that bet and offer up the Triple X root beer. Triple X is on Purdue's campus, basically. It's very good root beer. Wix pies, sugar cream pie, and a pork tenderloin from Harry's Chocolate Shop. It doesn't matter. It's a pork tenderloin. I look forward to having some Connecticut delicacies, states Governor Eric Holcomb of Indiana. But the joke is on Governor Holcomb. There's no such thing as a Connecticut delicacy. Just saying. Now, some people will argue that Connecticut actually makes excellent pizza. And I'm willing to concede that there might be some very good pizza places in Connecticut. I am just saying they only do that because they were too lazy to drive to New York. That's all I'm saying. There's nothing else that I'm adding to this except, of course, the very clear announcement that there are no delicacies from Connecticut. There might be some good things. There is just nothing that says, now this is Connecticut eating. That doesn't exist. Eclipse going to start about 30 minutes. The moon will start crossing the path of the sun. At least where I'm at. At least where you're at, I don't know. And then some people are listening to this later. It already happened. So that's got to be weird. This is Tony Katz today. Find everything at TonyKatz.com. I've got the eclipse glasses on, guys. And I'm looking right at the sun.
It ain't no joke. I like to buy the world a token. Teach the world to sing it.
Looks good. Looks good. Nothing yet. But it's happening. That's right. I moved everything outside. Broadcasting outside, cigar in hand. I'm all set. Tony Katz. Tony Katz today. 833 got Tony. 833-468-8669. There was a lot made of the fundraiser that Joe Biden had in New York. Star-studded affair. He's with President Obama and President Clinton, who Democrats would vote for over him by orders of magnitude. It was a star-studded affair with Lizzo, who was clearly not busy sexually abusing her staff. And, of course, it was all hosted by Stephen Colbert, who hosts The Late Show there on CBS. And has decided, what does funny matter when I could just be this guy? That fundraiser brought in $25 million. And we discussed this fundraiser because it was juxtaposed to President Trump being at the wake of a New York police officer who was killed in the line of duty. Horrible story. And there were people saying, oh, it was just a political stunt. Maybe, but Trump was with the people and Biden was with the elites. And you heard from David Axelrod saying that, you know what, all right, maybe the picture will look bad, but the $25 million is worth a lot more. You're trying to win an election. And James Carville stated, I wouldn't have canceled the fundraiser either. I don't think I would have canceled the fundraiser either, but it's the Biden team had no interest in any level of connection with a fallen police officer. And that's the story. And what I had brought up, what we had discussed, was the point that, yes, Biden brought in $25 million, 25 and a half, actually. A little bit of a recount there. Of course, a recount for Democrats, it always goes higher. What we said was, what makes anybody think that Donald Trump won't fundraise off this? Directly, indirectly, whatever the case may be, all things in politics don't change. What makes someone think this wouldn't happen? Trump at Mar-a-Lago held a fundraiser. And that fundraiser, according to sources, brought in $50.5 million. This is CNN. Donald Trump's campaign said it raised $50.5 million at a Saturday fundraiser in Florida. The haul announced by the campaign and top officials with the RNC eclipses the $25.5, which they now have a $26 million, that Biden reportedly collected at the gathering, the star-studded gathering, they state, in New York City. By the way, I was wrong. It wasn't at Mar-a-Lago, it was at the home of John Paulson, who's an investor, a billionaire in his own right. $50 million. Now, two things to note here. Number one, if the Trump team is lying, it will be easy to discover through financials and other things. I don't think that is something that gets made up. I do not think that is something that campaigns falsify. I think it's very easy to determine whether $50 million was raised or not. Secondly, you'll note that while, yes, indeed, there is a piece about it, this was from Sunday. This will go away as fast as it came about, because the last thing the political left wants to do is recognize and admit that maybe some people aren't interested in Joe. And they're not. They're not interested in Joe Biden. We discussed last week a pretty fascinating look at where the money's coming from and how the vast majority of Trump's donors are small donors. I think it's under $200. Like from $1 to $200 is considered, I guess, a small donor. And you're like, okay, what does that tell me? It tells you that his fundraising is coming from a larger group of people with smaller amounts of money. Joe Biden, the vast majority of his money is coming from large donors. $2,000 maximum kinds of contributions. Now, one could argue that money is money is money. Who cares where it comes from? Remember, it was the Obama campaign that when they took donations on their online donating, right, taking credit cards, whatever the case may be, they did not have any requirements for security. As I stated earlier, I know a little something about credit card processing. My family has been in this business for years. I've taken over pieces. My brother's taken over pieces because parents get older and they can't do what they used to do. It's totally fine. Totally fine. But when I was doing this, because I was in this business for a while, the idea that I could set up any widget seller with online processing where you didn't require security codes or zip codes or something like that as levels of proof, security that the card indeed belonged to the cardholder, I would not have been able to get away with that. That stuff would have been flagged. But Obama did. And so you're left to wonder where the donations came from. It's funny, the Obama conversation is actually me questioning whether or not I was right with my original thesis. Can you actually fudge the number? I think that too many people would be looking at Trump and the money raised if he was making up the number. If he says the number is $50 million and it's actually 48.7, that's fine. If he says $50 million, the number's 12, that's very different. But $50 million tells you something. Biden has the elitist, but he doesn't have everybody. And there is clearly from this, the first time I think one can make an argument that, yes, there are plenty of people who don't like Trump. I still argue he's a heavier lift than, let's say, DeSantis would have been. I've said it. I've meant it. I can move on from that. But there are plenty of people who are like, yeah, we can't do four more years of Joe Biden. We can't have any of this. We can't be a part of this. And when it's happening from a lot of small business owners, while it might be less money, certainly it can be a conversation politically, because what you need are votes in specific states to get electoral votes to get victory. Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Michigan. This is the big stuff. States where Trump lost by 10,000 votes. Well, that can be made up, especially when you have RFK in the mix. And he's getting 9.6%. And you know that's not pulling from people on the political right. I don't even know if that's necessarily pulling from independents. It certainly is pulling from people on the political left. That's why the Biden team is so unbelievably bothered by it. But if Trump can now start getting the larger scale donors, that's even a bigger problem for Biden. But this problem gets kind of magnified by the strangest story I have seen. And when I say strange, I'm saying I don't know how this is possible. And I'm not going to put much money down on the idea that this could happen. This was NBC News. This is the headline. Biden may have trouble getting on Ohio's general election ballot. This according to election officials. So the Secretary of State is saying that the DNC may take place too late for Biden to appear on the general election ballot in the state. The quote from the Secretary of State, Frank LaRose, who wrote to the Ohio Democratic Party chairwoman, her name is Liz Walters. So Frank LaRose, Secretary of State, writes to the Democratic Party, quote, "The Democratic National Convention is scheduled to convene on August 19th, 2024, which occurs more than a week after the August 7th deadline to certify a presidential candidate to the office." No way. I start with the first part exactly where you are. The Democratic Party didn't know this. The Republican convention takes place in Milwaukee in July. The Democratic convention is in Chicago. Are you telling me that they didn't put this together? Are you telling me that they never looked at all of the states and said, okay, when do we need to have this put together by? That's not possible. It's not. It is in every way impossible. It simply cannot be the case. So what happens in this situation? Well, Tony, they're Democrats. They'll just change the rules. Now, for the record, that is exactly what's going to happen. And by the way, if you go to demconvention.com, August 19th to 22nd, 2024, they say when it is. That's not possible. I'm arguing impossible. If this was the state of California, you could argue maybe it didn't matter. There'd be write-in votes, and that would be that. And there, I guess maybe there still could be. I have to figure out how this works. Ohio? OHIO? This is a big deal. LaRose, the Secretary of State, states that the oversight can be rectified in two ways. Either the Democratic Party moves up its nominating convention or getting the Ohio State Legislature to, quote, create an exemption to this statutory requirement by May 9th in accordance with state law. Okay. The governor of Ohio is Mike DeWine. Mike DeWine is a Republican. Now, he's not a strong Republican. And it is possible that Mike DeWine would say, clearly this was the intention, so let's get this done. But now you got to become some kind of an expert on the Ohio General Assembly. Don't they have to be in session? Don't they have to discuss it? Don't they have to vote on it? For the record, I'm looking at the Ohio Legislature, 135th General Assembly. They have a session on May 8th, the Senate at 1:30 and the House at 2 o'clock. Oh, it couldn't work out better than this, could it? They've got a session on the day before the statutory requirement would be up on May 9th. Oh, watch this story, kids. Watch this story. There's no way he's not on the ballot in Ohio. But how could Democrats even create the problem? Watch for it. And the answer is, I don't feel the need to create any special requirements. You knew the rules. Have a nice day. That's my take. Let me know yours on X, at Tony Katz on X. This is Tony Katz Today.
Blinded by the light, wrapped up like a douche. runner in the night, blinded by the light.
All right, I'm looking. I got my glasses. And I'm sorry, I don't mean to be away from the microphone. You can see, which to me looks like the bottom of the sun, a little bit to the right, but bottom of the sun. You're starting to see a little bit of a carve out. It happened when the scientists said they were not lying. We are working on the eclipse, people. It has begun. So I'm outside. People have discussed, not anybody who I would necessarily trust, I don't think, that supposedly, like, do animals freak out during an eclipse? Are they, like, not sure what's happening? Do they really think it's night? Do they, like, go to bed? I don't know. But, like, where I live, there's a fair amount of birds. I don't know if you can hear them in the background. There's like some, I don't know, those ducks or they geese, whatever they are. They're very loud. And so I want to see if they lose their minds because of the eclipse. People have lost their minds. And people have come from all over. They've traveled. There are places along the path of totality. Like, this is the biggest day of the year. They're going to make crazy money today. Crazy money. Watching the moon. It is. That's it, right? It's the moon crossing in front of the sun.
My God, the sun.
What is it, Simon?
A large fiery ball at the center of our solar system, but that's not important now.
What's important is that it has begun. It is happening in real time. And, of course, you need to listen to it on the radio. I ever tell you my job is weird sometimes? Nothing could be more visual, and yet we're going to describe it here. Cigars are lit, drinks are ready, glasses have been obtained. Let's see what Mother Nature has done. Are we calling it something else? Ooh, now we're going to get into a whole theological conversation. Find everything at TonyKatz.com. This is Tony Katz Today.